Hi, today we're going to talk about two topics in the Tzenna Arena on Parshas Noach. In the Yiddish edition, there are 14 pages that are devoted to Parshas Noach, and I'm going to speak about half a page from the beginning of the Parsha and three quarters of a page from the middle of the Parsha. I chose these two topics as both contain lessons, and the series is called Lessons from Tzenna Arena. And it also is sort of a highlight of the style of how the Tzenna Arena wrote. In the beginning of each parsha, Rabbeinu Bechaye often quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, from Proverbs by Shlomo HaMelech. He explains its meaning, and then he connects the pasuk that he quotes to the parsha. And very often, the Tzenna Arena will quote the Rabbeinu Bechaye, and then explain what the Rabbeinu Bechaye said, either by translating the words of Rabbeinu Bechaye, or in his own style, adding some commentary. The second topic that we're going to discuss struck me when I first learned the Sefer, and I wanted to share it with you. It's essentially a drasha. It's a speech about a very modern problem that obviously is not so modern because it goes back to the time of Noach. Not every parsha is going to have an essay, a drasha, that's so fully expounded. So when it happens, it tells us that this is an important issue and that society was grappling with this troubling issue. This drasha, or in its written form, an essay, is about the spiritual dangers of getting very drunk and not having moderation when it comes to alcohol, as seen with Noach and throughout history. I believe this essay is still very relevant, and so we're going to discuss it today. Let's start with our first topic, which is a quote from Rabbeinu Bechaye, quoting Mishlei. Mishalech betumot tzadik ashrei bonav acharav. The righteous man walks in his simplicity. Happy are the people who come after him. And this is a quote from Mishlei, chapter 20, verse 7. Rabbeinu Bechaye explains what it means to have a tzaddik who walks with tumo, with simplicity. He explains that there is a distinction between the levels of tzidkus, levels of righteousness. There is a tzaddik, and then there's a tamim. A tamim is one who does mitzvos l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven. What does that look like? Lots of people do mitzvos, and some don't do it for the right reasons. We're supposed to do mitzvahs because they are commandments of Hashem. We do them to fulfill His will and because of our awe and love of Him. Some mitzvahs have a side benefit. They make us look good. If I'm a Baal Tzedakah, if I donate a lot of money to others, I look like a nice guy. It makes me popular and respected. So a mitzvah that should make me a tzaddik might have an ulterior motive. The Tzenna Arena tells us that there are two problems specifically with doing the mitzvah of tzedakah with the hope of becoming respected and popular. First, the mitzvah is not for Hashem, it's for me, and that is the height of arrogance. I'm putting myself at the center instead of Hashem. I'm saying I am as important as Hashem. When we think of what we do as great, we are crowding out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're taking credit for what Hashem has given us, rather than realizing it is a gift and an opportunity that He has bestowed upon us. For this reason, arrogance is called by the Tzenna Arena and Rabbeinu Bechaye as a midah, character trait that is disgusting to Hashem. In contrast, Moshe Rabbeinu was the anav mikol adam. He was the most humble person of any mankind, and he was had the ability to get the closest to Hashem, to speak to Him face to face, because he did not put his own ego in his ability to recognize and see and understand what Hashem was saying to him. So that's problem number one. Problem number two with publicizing our tzedakah is that it's not just affecting us and our souls. We're not just arrogant. We're giving the tzedakah to someone else. And that someone else needs to live with the knowledge that everyone knows that they're being helped. It's embarrassing and it's also degrading. There is a phrase that we shouldn't make someone else into our lulav, meaning the other person is not there so we can do a mitzvah with them. When that happens, a person feels very objectified. They feel dehumanized. So for this reason, a person should be tamim, simple, modest, in addition to being a tzaddik, specifically and especially when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, of helping others. Shlomo HaMelech also said, Rav Adam yikra ish chasdo, v'ish emonim miyimtza. Many will call a person a chassid, but a man of faith who can find. Lots of people can identify someone who does chassid because they make sure that everyone knows about it. And ish emonim, a man of faith, a person who helps others quietly for the sake of Hashem, miyimtza. Who can find them, as there are so few of them out there? The Tzenna Arena continues that there are actually three levels of holiness a person can achieve. If they are modest, which is a prerequisite, then they are tzaddik. If they are even more righteous and more modest, then they are tamim. And the third level, which is the highest, which we haven't talked about yet, is walking with Hashem. Walking with Hashem means being God conscious at all times. A person who walks with Hashem always has Hashem on their mind. They think, what would Hashem want me to do right now? Every step, every choice is made with this lens. The Tzena Arena connects these ideas to the opening pasuk in our parsha. These three characteristics were found with Noach. As the pasuk says, Noach ish tzaddik, tamim haya b'dorasav, es ha'elokim hisalech Noach. Noach was a tzaddik, level one. He was a tamim in his generation, level two. And he walked with Hashem, level three. So, the first section of the parsha establishes a perspective of who Noach was. There is a debate in Rashi that we find where Rashi questions and quotes Chazal, who question whether Noach was an objective tzaddik, meaning that he was great despite those around him. Those around him didn't pull him down. He would have been greater in another generation, and he would have always been a tzaddik, or if he was a subjective tzaddik, meaning he was mediocre, but in comparison to everybody else, he was okay. This question and topic is quoted only briefly later in the parsha. Most of the time in the Tzena Arena is spent initially with the perspective that Noach was a complete tzaddik. There is no equivocation. And this is important because later in the parsha, we're going to see that Noach changes, which brings us to the second topic, which is the strong contrast between these two versions of Noach. Noach was the tamim, he was the tzaddik, he was the ezel kima salech Noach. He did everything with an intention for Hashem. He did it modestly. He did it completely. But after Noach leads the Teva, there's a change. He comes and he goes and plants a vineyard. And the Tzena Arena tells us that before he went onto the Teva, he took with him this grapevine to plant a vineyard. And immediately after he leaves the Teva, he plants the vineyard and he gets drunk from the wine that he makes from it. And he is then naked in his room. He acts in a degrading manner. His son Cham walks in on him and he starts mocking him. And then Cham tells his brothers, who then cover him up. When Noach sobers up, he realizes what went wrong, and he curses Canaan, his grandson, the son of Ham. Many of the ideas in the drash on Noach's behavior are taken from Rabbeinu Bachaye, with further comments from the Medrash. Before even discussing how the issue is approached, let's think about what it means that this essay is even here. When I read this essay, it was an indication to me that in the times when the Tzena Arena was written, excessive drinking was an issue. I don't know if it was one person or more in a town, but it rose to the level of being disturbing. So that goes against the idea that Jews don't drink. It would not be included if there was absolutely no drinking. So they also had a problem. What is different between then and now is that they had a universal vehicle to disseminate the Torah position clearly that was discussed every year. Is our society fortunate enough to have that? Where you have something written in a language of regular people, not scholars, that is discussed openly and plainly. There is Daf Yomi and the Parsha, but not everyone goes to Shul. I think the Mishpacha magazine probably comes closest to popular cultural and reading material, and that's not its goal to disseminate essays and topics of the Torah position on a particular idea. And when they do carry a message of import that has that goal, it's not repeated yearly, and it's not found in every single home. Before we begin to discuss the issue, I think we can recognize that this is a loss, that the most of our time don't have this benefit. What would our society look like if we had a universal understanding of alcoholism and we talked about it year after year after year? Let's look at how the Torah discusses Noach's descent into drunkenness. That topic is placed right after Hashem tells Noach about the rainbow and that he would no longer destroy the world if for evil. The topics are not necessarily chronological, the Tzena Arena tells us. Rather, the rainbow and wine relate to each other thematically. In every generation, a rainbow only is seen if the generation is deserving of being destroyed. It demonstrates that there is an evil in this world. When a person drinks in excess and gets drunk, this is also a clear sign that there is evil in the world and that a person could lose their soul. Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei says, "Oy l'mi, avoy l'mi shesosa harbayayin." To whom is it oy vavoy, to whom is it woe to those who drink a lot of wine? The Tzena Arena qualifies this for anyone who is overly specific that this warning is not only about wine. It's about any alcoholic drink used in excess, scotch, beer, bourbon. Any of these drinks don't make a person strong or healthy. Their function is not to improve the health of a person. They will always weaken a person physically and mentally when used in excess. There are many times in halacha, the Tzen Arena continues, when we do drink wine. We drink when benching, at a wedding, we say Kiddush, we give a mourner wine. Chazal qualify these times and limit them. In the times of Chazal, wine was very concentrated. It contains it was a high proof, it had a lot of alcohol. And therefore, it needed to be watered down to a ratio of 3 parts water, 1 part wine, before it could be used for any mitzvah, so that the alcoholic content was not too high. The section about Noach planting a vineyard uses very specific language that hints to this idea. It says, Vayichal Noach, Noach began. Rabbeinu Bachai notes that the word Vayichal can have a double meaning. Chulin means something that is not holy. It's either profane or it's just neutral with no holiness. When Noach planted this vineyard, he stopped being Noach Ish Tzadik, the righteous Noach, and just became a plain, regular person. Noach had been such a tzaddik that the whole world was saved because of him, and the renewal of the world grew from him, and the Creator built the world anew. Nevertheless, since he got very drunk, what happened to him? Look at the result. His nakedness was revealed because he was drunk. It caused him to curse his grandson, and because of the shame that came from what he had done. The Tzen Arena continues his drasha, explaining the dangers of excess alcohol. You see in the Torah that when it comes to wine, the portion that discusses wine, there are 13 vavs there, I didn't count them, to show us that a man, even if he is worthy to come to heaven because of his righteousness, that he will be impacted by alcohol. The Rabbeinu Bachaye explains that there are 13 steps in Gan Eden that the righteous sit on, and anyone who drinks a lot of wine gets banished from these steps and does not deserve to have a place on the stairs, and that this will cause him great sorrow and contempt. There is a Midrash Rabbah that's quoted here that further develops this idea. The Midrash tells us that Noach wanted to plant a vineyard, and a demon approached him, a Shindalid, and told him that they should become partners when planting this vineyard. The demon said, "We will plant the vineyard together. However, I'm warning you, don't get drunk, because then I will come after you." What is this Midrash telling us? The Eitz Yosef, quoting the Alshech, tells us the meaning of this strange phraseology. There are two ways to live life. There is first one as described in the beginning of the parsha. One can walk with Hashem, meaning everything we do is because Hashem wants it. Or we can do things for our own pleasure and purpose. When we do things without Hashem in mind, that becomes the area where the powers of Tumah take hold. In this case, wine has that duality. It can be used for Hashem, for Kiddush, for helping, and it can corrupt a person. When Noach wanted to plant the vineyard, it was as if a demon came and said, "This vineyard can have two purposes, one for good and one for evil. We're partners. You, Noach, who is a tzaddik, and me, the demon, who is waiting for people to drink in excess, which is not going to be for any mitzvah, and I will step in then and I will harm your life." Noach was warned. He was a tzaddik. He was the reason the whole world was renewed, and yet he still succumbed to the power of wine. When a person drinks enough where they lose their sense of balance, then and where they lose that distinction when drinking is a mitzvah, they lose their holiness. The Tzen Arena looks at the Pesukim and finds another reference to how corrupting drinking in excess is. The Pasuk says, "Vayiskal b'soch ohala." Noach became revealed in his tent. He was revealed because of the wine. The word revealed is written with the shoresh of Gimel Lamed Hey, which the letters hint to the word galus, expulsion and exile. This is a hint, the Tzen Arena and the Rabbeinu Bachaye say, to the fact that galus follows when wine is flowing in excess. There are two examples that he brings. We often think about why were the 10 tribes sent into galus? It was because of their avodah zarah. They didn't worship Hashem. And we know how evil they were. The kings, Yeravam, from Yeravam through Achav, they were evil. And of course, their avodah zarah would have caused exile from the Holy Land of Israel. Not so, says the Tzen Arena. The avodah zarah was only a result, but the true cause was that society got drunk too often. This lack of control over alcohol led to all the other vices in society. He also continues that even within Yehuda and Binyamin, they also went into galus because of the fact that they indulged excessively in wine. And that is the end of his essay regarding alcohol. So to summarize, there were a number of ideas that were contained within this essay. And the main one was, we look at Noach. He was modest. He didn't flaunt what he did. He was a true tzaddik. And he only did things that Hashem wanted, as Elohim Hasalech Noach. But then he changes. His life goes downhill. He loses his self-respect. He loses the respect of his children because of how he got drunk. And we have decisions to make every day when it comes to things that we can do in excess or in moderation. We can be modest people. We cannot take credit. We could be good people. But we need to maintain this even when we're tired, we're scared, we're lonely. There's always the allure to turn to alcohol to numb our pain and lose ourselves. But if we do that, we lose so much more. Torah has a place for wine. It's limited, and Torah recognizes that alcohol serves a function. But we need to keep it within those limits. So let's review today's two lessons. First, we're all at a place where we do good things for others in our religious observance. That's a given. Everybody who's listening to this class is listening to it because we want to serve Hashem. I don't need to convince anyone to help a neighbor or the value of davening. But what we can do is refine how we are doing things. Is it for Hashem? Is it being done with sensitivity to the recipient? So it doesn't feed our own egos, and it helps the people who are truly trying to help. There's a pasuk in Micha, Higid lecha adam, ma tov, u'ma Hashem doresh mimcha. I'll tell you, man, what is good and what is it that Hashem asks for you? Ki im asos mishpat, so that you should do justice. V'avas chesed, you should love doing kindness. V'atzneya leches im Hashem elokecha, that you should walk with modesty with your God. To act as a tzenua, to act with modesty, means to keep our good deeds private. Lesson 2. The Tzeno Rena gave us a perspective on alcohol that can be extended to all substance use disorders. Alcohol is good in moderation, and it has its place in religious observance. However, when used in excess, it can change a good person into someone he wouldn't recognize. It can be as if the dark side, a demon, has taken hold of him. It's important to have a conversation about this as a community. A few things. First, if you are lucky enough that this is not an issue in your family, have a conversation with your kids about the dangers of excessive drinking. Let them know that you'll pick them up if they feel peer pressure, and give them the tools to withstand peer pressure. Even the best kids can succumb to the pressure, as we have said, that if Noah could fall, anybody can fall. Next, if you have someone in your life who you care about who's misusing substances, alcohol or drugs, or even has a behavior that is used in excess, such as gambling or watching inappropriate images, it's important to realize that this is more common of an issue than you think. There is help out there. These behaviors do not negate all the good the person has done, and you do know the real them. They could be a tzaddik, but when they're in the clutches of these substances or behaviors, they are changed and they can act in painful ways. This is nothing new. Our community has been dealing with this for hundreds of years. It can be confusing and painful to deal with, but there are organizations to help navigate the issue. Amudin, Al-Anon Relief, which is a mental health referral organization, can help you figure out what is the right next step to help your world be less chaotic in the face of these demons. Finally, alcohol use and substance use is not gender specific. There's a stereotype that alcohol use is a male issue. We always see articles writing about the kiddish clubs, which is only talking about men. But on Facebook, lots of women share pictures of drinking wine too. Looking at it as a gender issue is not a full picture. Over the pandemic, many people turned to alcohol to cope with the stress of working, being isolated, taking care of family. And if you see yourself in this portrait of Noah, where you are a good person and then act in ways that you wouldn't because of alcohol, reach out. Alcohol is a powerful force. Even Noah HaTzadik couldn't resist it, and he was warned of its dangers beforehand. Amudim is there to help. Alcoholics Anonymous is in every town. Talk to your doctor, talk to a mental health professional. The best day to make a better tomorrow is today. Have a good Shabbos.